Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good morning and welcome back to the program, family. You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. And I do hope that you enjoy the music take over there. Right now is time for us to get into our mid-morning chat. And as we continue our conversation on prosperity, I have a very interesting, I had an interesting thought the other day with regards to prosperity and the way that God blesses us. And Pastor Apane will be joining us for this conversation and helping us understand what God expects of us with regards to our surplus. My pastor, good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning. Good morning to the listeners. Hope everybody is safe and everybody is doing well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for making time. Really appreciate your time this morning. So we're talking about our surplus and, you know, spending. It's a typical daily occurrence for us today. When you think about the difference between our spending and people living maybe 100 years ago, our spending is not always necessarily for our survival. So with modern inventions and industry and things like that, it's made it possible for us to get what we need quickly and at affordable prices. But what is God's purpose for our surplus? The 1% which is able to purchase a private jet or spend as much on a pair of ripped jeans as some of us might make in a month. How does God actually feel about that? Especially and particularly for those who have all this excess wealth and they are also generous. They do give back to the community. Is it morally justified? Is it okay if I can afford it to go and spend hundreds and thousands on something frivolous like a pair of shoes or a purse?
Yes, I think let's start here with what the Bible teaches us. Mm-hmm. You know, Matthew in chapter 22, verse 37, will teach us that when Jesus was asked, "Who is your neighbor?" teaches about three principles or three people.
Okay,
you know, three people. Teaches about that love your Lord, your God, with all your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, that's right. A third person. It's God, the neighbor, and the love of self. You know, to be able to love all these three equally and ensure that whatever that you have, you know, that's why it says love the Lord your God with all your might, with all your strength, and with all your soul. And then the greatest commandment is also like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm.
And then that neighbor is a stranger. The Bible will tell you that the neighbor is a stranger. It's a foreigner who's in your land, mm-hmm. you know. And the Bible is very exhaustive about that. And then the other concept that you also get in the Bible is also about wealth.
Mm-hmm.
We should never shy away to say to ourselves that wealth is wrong.
Okay.
You know, wealth is not wrong because the Bible teaches us, it's in the book of Proverbs, that Proverbs and also in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19.
Mm.
And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God, you know. And then the other one says, wealth that comes from God will also increase.
Mm.
That is what the Bible teaches us, that there is nothing that is wrong with wealth. Because
right.
Usually when we talk about wealth, we always talk about wealth as something that is wrong,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
as a church, that we always speak about it in a negative light. Yes, I found the verse. It says, hard work will bring wealth. That's Proverbs 14, verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
You know that wealth comes from the Lord. That is what the Bible is teaching us, that there is nothing wrong with being wealthy. There's nothing wrong with accumulating wealth, you know, especially more of it when it's blessed by God, when it's God given, you know. And then the Bible also will teach us about the importance of how we utilize wealth, you know.
Okay.
That's why the Bible will also say to us, in the manner that we utilize it, it says here in the book of Luke chapter 4, verse 8, to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, the recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the captives free. That becomes a mission. That becomes a purpose.
Mm.
You know, and then also there's a verse that says in Matthew 25, I was hungry, you did not feed me. I was thirsty, you did not give me water. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. So before we even speak about the excess of wealth and then how we utilize it, the surplus that remains, the biggest question is that there's a love of God where we demonstrated with the return of our tithes and the returns of our offerings. And then the love of our neighbor is demonstrated to those, the stranger, that I was hungry, did you feed me? I was thirsty, did you give me water? I was a stranger, did you invite me in? You know, I was naked, did you clothe me? That's what we need to be able to ask ourselves. You know, before that we even speak of excess wealth and how we utilize it for ourselves, you know, in the modern world of Gucci, of Louis Vuitton, you know, of things that cost. I mean, we saw somebody wearing a jacket that is worth $500,000 rands, you know, $500,000 rands. That's how expensive the jacket is. I think it's Dolce & Gabbana or something. There's a brand like that.
Sure.
You know, so that's how much it costs. And the question that we're asking is, then how are we supposed to utilize it? Pastor, I'm feeding the hungry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm clothing the naked. I'm giving water to the thirsty.
Yeah.
You know, and then the question then comes, Pastor, then how should I utilize it?
Yeah.
You know, how should I then have it and use it? Then Ecclesiastes, you know, one of the richest kings to have ruled over Israel, King Solomon, you know, writes about it, because God had bestowed him with wisdom.
Right.
But out of the wisdom, he was able to gain excessive wealth, you know. And then he says here that we came naked. This is what he says. People came into the world with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And when they will die, they will leave with nothing.
Mm.
You know, that Ecclesiastes chapter 5, from verse 10 to verse 20.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us an idea that naked I came into this earth, naked will I leave this earth. You know, at the end of the day, it is very important that, yes, let us enjoy. We should not say to our people, let us only feed the hungry.
Yeah.
Let us give tithes and offering. Once we have done that,
mm-hmm.
you know, we need to be able to have that enjoyment for ourselves of the monies that we have earned on this earth. You know, we need to travel to see the beauty of this world that God has given us. You know, if you're able to go to Egypt, to go to see the Holy Land in Israel,
mm-hmm.
to be able to see New York, to be able to see the Asian countries, that is a gift from God, and God will not hold us accountable to say, why did you go there? Why did you spend it there?
Right.
You know, it is yours. You've earned it. You know, but in us having earned it, we should be able to live a life that shows that we are Christians. You know, that in as much as we're traveling and in as much as we're accumulating wealth, we should be able to utilize it wisely. And that's what the Bible teaches us. You know, the Bible teaches us a very good concept that naked we came to the earth, naked shall we leave. Meaning that I can accumulate 20 billion rands or 20 million rands. But when I die, I cannot take my 20 million rands with me.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why then he says in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22, a good person leaves an inheritance to their children and their children's children, you know. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for their righteousness, you know, or for their own godly things. But let me explain it and break it down.
Mm-hmm.
A good person leaves an inheritance for their children and children's children.
Mm-hmm.
It is not only leaving money to our children, but it is also teaching them how to the value of money, so that even when I have died, you know, but my values and teachings continue to live with them.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing that we are able to do with our excess money, you know, our surplus. that as we have it, as we live a life of luxury, you know, there are people who will say live in Cape Town or have breakfast in Cape Town and go to Durban for lunch and come to Johannesburg for supper. That's nice how life. Much wealth they have, you know. But what the Bible teaches us is that, yes, let us have it. Let us enjoy it. But the value of it, it is let us teach those who will remain behind with our wealth to treat it right, to live a life that is worth it. So that at the end of the day, that when you die, we should not leave it in the hands of those who will just misuse it, who will just utilize it in a way that is not right. Yeah. You know. So those are the guidance that we receive from the Bible. To live for God, to live for the neighbor, to live for ourselves. And as we live for ourselves, we should always keep in mind that the grave is where we are all going. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes says. The poor and the rich have a one common destiny. And that common destiny is the grave. You know, whether you like it, whether I don't like it, whether I've got wealth, whether I do not have wealth, our common destiny is the grave. You know, and then we cannot take that 20 million rand house. We cannot take that 50 cars that we have in our houses down to the grave. But what we are able to do is that we are able to leave a legacy. That is what we're able to do. You know, that's why you see now the rich people are now talking about philanthropy, you know, to say, I've got so much wealth that if I die, it might lead my children astray. So what they do, what rich people now do, it is they teach their children proper values. You know, Richard Branson, and then there's also Warren Buffett, who say half of my wealth is given to the poor. I've donated it to philanthropy to leave a legacy for the world to know that I have lived. And that even when I have died, my legacy will outlive me. And then the question is, Pastor, what about their children? Then Warren Buffett says, I have taught my children the value of money and the value of life, that you do not just inherit. You've got to work for it. You know, and that's what we need to be able to teach them. That surplus will always be there. But the question is, this surplus, as much as we spend it on ourselves and all these things, when we die, those things will be just misused, you know?
It's very true. And I think the main takeaway that I'm getting from everything that you've shared there is, as much as it's not necessarily immoral or wrong to enjoy the finer things in life if you can afford them, God is not mad at that. He's not intimidated by all of that. I mean, considering the fact that the streets where he lives are made of gold. So clearly, you know, he likes nice things as well. But also, at the same time, he doesn't want us to be attached to those things. So every time you mention the fact that we are all going to the grave, we shouldn't get, you know, so attached to these things because we're not taking them with us. To me, that says, just don't be attached to them. Just hold these things loosely, enjoy the blessing, be responsible with it, allow it to bless your children and the people around you, but don't get so attached to it.
That's what the Bible teaches us also. You know, like when you talk about storing up of treasures, that's what Jesus teaches, you know. Do not store up your treasures on earth where moth and rust will destroy, you know, where thieves can break in, but store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not come, you know, or destroy. That's what the Bible is teaching us, you know, to say, set your priorities in order, you know, as much as we have, let it not be about me. Let it not be about this treasure. You know, the verse that we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, the one that we spoke about in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 from verse 10, is that those who have money will never be satisfied with the money they have. Those who love wealth will not be satisfied when they get more and more. This is also senseless. This is what he says. That's what That's what King Solomon says.
Mm.
The more wealth people have, the more friends they will have to help them spend it.
Hey.
So basically is that some the issue, the psychology of money. That's why they say money makes the world go round.
Yeah.
Money can buy happiness. But at the end of the day, when you look at it in the right angle, it is that yes, that money can buy us happiness. Mm-hmm. Money can bring contentment. But the issue is, it is temporary, you know. Mm. That's why the true value is that we cannot serve two masters.
Yep.
That's why the Bible teaches us that let us love God. Let us love him earnestly with all our hearts. That tomorrow I do not value my car more than people. I do not value my house more than people. There are people who would tell you that in my house, these people are not welcomed.
Mm.
You know that we love ourselves. We love our treasure so much. You know that in my house, when you come, you need to take off shoes because you're going to be stepping on a 50,000 carpet and I don't want it to be dirty. You know that,
sure,
that we value it so much in our hearts that at the end of the day, that we do not see what life is meant of, that we should not love things, but we should love people. You know, we should love God. We should love our neighbors. That's why the Bible is trying to give us a perspective of how to live our lives.
Mm.
You know, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, to love God, to love the stranger, to give to them, to support them, and also to love yourself. That as we love ourselves, we should ask ourselves, do we love ourselves so much that we are able to become gods to ourselves?
Sure.
That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. But at the end of the day, is that wealth is a blessing. And that's what we need to re-emphasize. It is a blessing that comes from God,
mm-hmm,
that God is willing to give to us. And as he gives it to us, remember, I always teach this thing. God says to the children of Israel in the book of Numbers, he says, you're going to have a land. Be careful.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have land that you're going to live in. You know, you're going to have houses that you did not build, you know. And he says, do not fill your heart with pride and say, I have ended.
Mm-hmm.
And then you forget the Lord,
yeah,
you know. And then when you read the Bible, the Lord says to them, I'm going to do it for you.
Yeah,
I have made this promise that I'm going to set you free from Egypt. And I made a promise that I'm going to give you a land that is flowing with milk and honey. It is only at the end, when you read the book of Joshua, when everybody has gotten land, all the tribes of Israel have gotten their land,
mm-hmm,
and they've all settled. They've all got these businesses. They've got this world that is flowing with the milk and honey. And the milk and honey, by the way, was also including the oil reserves that were underneath the ground,
mm,
that make them the richest country or nation in the world, you know. And then God says to them in the book of Joshua, then choose ye this day whom you will serve, you know. And when you read throughout the history of Israel, God has never asked the Israelites to choose, but he only allows them to choose once they've gotten the wealth, once they've gotten the land, once they've gotten the houses, once they've gotten the pleasures of this earth. Then he says to them, listen, I've given them to you, and I'm a good God, and I'm leaving it up to you to choose for yourself. Are you going to choose your wealth? Are you going to choose the land? Are you going to choose all these things? Or are you going to choose me?
Yeah.
You know? And then the value of it is that choose me as your God, because I am the one who blessed you with that wealth. I am the one that blessed you with the houses and the land that is flowing with milk and honey.
Yeah.
You know, so we also, one of the greatest things that we want to remind our listeners, it is that God is a blesser of this wealth that we have. And that's why he says, choose me above the wealth.
Mm.
So that even when it's gone, you will still have me.
Yes.
You know, the book of Job, or the story of Job, is a good reminder of when we talk about wealth. when it vanishes. Remember Job? His wealth was taken away. All of these things were taken away.
In quick succession.
Yeah. But at the end of the story, God was able to restore what was taken away. That is the value of having a relationship with God.
Amen. Amen. Oh, such a powerful teaching. And, you know, as we're just wrapping up, I know we're kind of out of time, but if you just have 2 more minutes just to share with us, I'd like to hear your perspective on the story of when Mary, yeah, I don't want to mix them up. It was Mary who poured her perfume on Jesus' feet. And it was something very expensive. And, you know, some of the elders were not happy about that and felt like it could have been used better. And I suppose even in our present day, sometimes we might have similar situations where it may not necessarily be an offering to Jesus, but where maybe someone is spending money that could possibly have been used in ministry, could have been used to help someone else, but they're using it in a way that might seem frivolous to someone else or might seem irresponsible to another person. Do we have any right as the body of Christ or just as individuals to, you know, to kind of make that call? And if I am the one spending that money, is that a problem? Is it my responsibility, basically, to make sure that everyone is fed and everyone is clothed before I can spend this money on breakfast in Cape Town and lunch in Durban?
So the story is the one found in the book of John 11 and 12, uh-huh. That the resurrection of Lazarus, the brother of Mary.
Right.
Then she comes and pours this expensive oil in thanksgiving. And then the Bible then says that that oil or that perfume mm-hmm. was worth a year's of wages.
Yeah. You know?
So that's what she was willing to give, you know. So what we're able to tell the people is to reemphasize, you know, Mary did it out of thanksgiving.
Right.
And she said, I will take the best that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I will dispose of it in thanksgiving to God as an act of gratitude, you know. So what we're saying to our listeners, God has given us the wealth. God has given us the ability to gain wealth. You know, we should not undermine not only getting the wealth, but the ability.
Mm.
You know, God has given us the business brains. God has given us the ability to know and have the fourth knowledge of how to invest, you know, in the right stocks as they grow.
Yeah.
You know, and then the value of it is, then what then do we show off our God to, you know, to say, how will I show thanks to God for what he has done? And we are able to do it in the way we give our offerings, our tithes, in the way we take care of the needy. You know, we can be able to give you examples of members we have in the church
yeah.
who say, Pastor, God has blessed me with so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you are running a stewardship department.
Yeah.
Give me a church that I may build. You know, there's one member who says, give me 3 churches.
Wow.
And he has built 3 churches for the Lord.
Sure.
You know, one, he says, give me one that is not complete. I'll put on the roof. The other one says, Pastor, I will work with rural churches. I know that they're struggling with infrastructure.
Mm.
I might not have much, but what I have, I will make sure that they have toilets where they're able to go there. And at the later stage, if God blesses me with more wealth, I will build them proper churches where they're able to worship.
Mm.
So we're able to use our wealth
yeah.
to positively benefit God, to benefit the community. There are those who are running feeding schemes by themselves to say, listen, I will buy the food. You only feed those people.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we're able to use with the wealth that God has given to us.
Mm.
You know, we're able to assist God to build institutions. You know, as a church, we want to build schools.
Yeah.
We want to build hospitals. We want to build places of safety. You know, for kids who have been abused, women who have been abused. Those are areas that we're able to spend our wealth in so that people are able to know that God cares.
Amen.
So that is what we're able to do with the wealth that God has given to us.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, thank you so much, Pastor. I really appreciate your time this morning. And thank you for an engaging conversation on what God expects us to do with our surplus and the ways that we can use that to glorify and honor him. And a very, very important lesson that you emphasized of not holding on too tightly to the things of this world, things mm-hmm. that we cannot take into the world to come. So really appreciate your time and the lessons that you've shared this morning. God bless you.
God bless you. God bless the listeners, and let God them not only bless them, socially, but let them God bless them with the wealth that they also need,
Amen.
To enjoy the value of life, to travel, to be able to afford for their children the things of this world, but not to forget that these things might also vanish, but must build a solid foundation with God. May God bless you and God bless the listeners. Thank you so much.
Amen and amen. Pastor Apane, they're speaking to us about what to do with our surplus when God blesses us with surplus. And it's also a good reminder that God does bless us with surplus, right? So we must know that God does bless his people. He wants us to enjoy the things that he's blessed this world with. He wants us to see the world. He wants us to, travel and to enjoy the nice things in life. God is not trying to force us into a box and for us to struggle. As I believe it's Barry Black. I remember Barry Black in one sermon saying that there's nothing holy about poverty. God doesn't want us to struggle, right? So as much as we go through different seasons and we go through different trials and struggles in our lives, we don't all have the same path, but we must not associate wealth and, those kinds of material blessings. We must associate those with sinfulness or with the devil. God also blesses his people. Look at Abraham, look at Job, and many other examples, King Solomon and David, and the list is endless. So God does bless his people. We just have to be responsible enough not to be so attached to those things because we are not taking them with us where we're trying to go, right? I hope you were blessed by that conversation. If you have any questions or comments, do send those through to +27734703520.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.